Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey, hosted by three fellow travelers who found a soul connection on the path to higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you are likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experiences with you each week. Join us as we spill the tea on what it's like to wake up to your authentic self. Hi, I'm Lola Singer, and this is a special episode today because in addition to my friendly co-hosts, we have special guests here. So let's start with the co-hosts. You guys know?
My name is Amaral.
Hello, I'm Pamela.
And we like to dig deep into the woo-woo and the spirituality. And we have made some really good friends in our local community. And two of them are here today. They are our friends who dive deep into the world of crystals, including skulls. So may I introduce the two. Would you like to say your name?
Hi, everybody. My name is Aaron.
And I'm Mo.
Yes. And we met, I actually met Aaron and Mo in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Linwood, I think.
No, it was the Seattle one.
Maplewood.
No,
Maplewood.
I swear it was the Seattle
psychic fair.
Yeah, because I remember we talked. You said you were from this area, and I had just moved up here. And I got to talk to those people because I had no friends up here.
I think I might have. I met you even before that.
Well, that's true. I forgot about that though.
I met you before that. My very first tarot reading that I ever had, actually, my very first reading that I ever paid money for in my entire life, was from you, Lola.
And that was Maplewood. You're right. Right.
This is a great circle. Yeah.
I know. We were all, you know, you find out when you're on the spiritual path that you're just meant to meet. So I guess I had forgotten about that particular tarot reading.
Well, and I remember Aaron just being so drawn to you. I mean, because he would never get himself a reading or anything. I was not dragging him, but I was like, let's go to this weekend or let's do this. And he was like straight to Lola. And he was very, very, very changed from his
We're kind of going around and we were seeing, because we were getting into the booth business where you buy a booth and you sell your wares. So we were kind of checking out different things. We checked out the Blue Moon Psychic Fair. I did a lap around the room and I was like, that's Lola's the one.
Cool.
And I remember I remember the reading was like, a lot of people give you these really positive, now that I've done a few, I know that you're supposed to get like really positive. You know, you come out of there feeling like you're ready to take on whatever you were going through. I got the Tower card. It was like the main card in my reading. And I don't really remember what I was kind of dealing with at that time, but I remember being like, oh, I have some work to do.
Yeah, but in my defense, it's not necessarily negative to get the Tower. You're stripping away the indoctrination.
I love the Tower card. That's one of my favorite cards.
Well, it's one of my favorite now, too, because just putting my thinking into what you were explaining to me about the Tower card really helped me, like, know that it was time to get to work.
To let stuff go, yeah. But yes, I can understand if that was your first ever reading. That was,
But he was so positive about that reading, because I think if he had gotten a really ultra, like,
hippy-dippy one,
he would have dismissed it in a second. That's not how he functions, you know? He's ruled by Saturn.
It was perfect for a Capricorn.
Yeah, it was perfect. And I remember being like, yes, he's in fully, you know, like... Yes, he got what he needed, you know, and that was really cool.
Yes, and I just want to emphasize again, you're going to meet these people over and over again in your spiritual journey too, until you really connect. And then I know when I really connected with you was when at a Seattle fair.
Yeah,
and you came in with jewelry, and I'd never seen you guys as a couple, I don't think, before. Mm-hmm. And when you announced where you were living, it was like, oh, I was. Yeah. So excited. It's like, oh my God, some cool people where I just moved.
Yeah,
wonderful.
We didn't know anybody either. Seattle people who were now living up in the woods in Anacortes, like, who are people? We don't know anybody. And you were like, you brought us.
And then you got introduced to our Reiki teacher, Samantha.
Sammy. Yes.
Yeah, life-changing.
That's right. Because I learned about Sammy through you.
Yeah, I'm good at hooking people up. I'm learning that about myself. I'm good at seeing who fits in.
I remember I drugged you to the Reiki circle.
Yeah, and
you were nervous.
And I wouldn't go out to anything or do anything. And Aaron was like, we're going to go to this. And I continued to go to that. And Aaron stopped going, but I was
I think I went the first few times just to get you there.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Look at all the relationships.
Oh, gosh. It's changed my life.
That,
that like circles really help people blossom. Mm-hmm. A lot of people.
And that's how we met Pam. And I mean, like, we all just, our hearts connected through that.
Yeah. When did we meet?
We met through Mystical Wares.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I started, like, someone got me into one of the live sales, and then I ended up, like, getting crystals, and then I connected with you.
And I made you a wand.
Yes, the first one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Actually, so I met you guys in Bellingham.
Oh, yeah, that's at a crystal show.
At a crystal show, the ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was a crystallography
My show. Sisters, I was there with my sisters on a rare trip, but they never come around, and I was kind of getting into the spiritual stuff, and you guys were downstairs. I didn't know there was a downstairs in the basement. And my sister comes up excited. Hey, you got to come down. This guy's like, knows how to check your energy with this brace.
The tensor tools.
Tensor tools. So she was really impressed by that.
Yeah.
And then we're talking to you and you do the testing. And then mm-hmm. I'm kind of walking away and I see Mo's jewelry and I see this horn, this piece of wood. And she goes, well, that's for a shaman. And then she looks at me and she goes, oh, that's for you. And it just meant so much to me because I was so new in it. And to have somebody see that and validate it. I was super impressed, and I just love that I wear that piece all the time. So
yeah,
so it's really awesome.
Just for the listeners, Mo and I, we run Cosmic Earth Medicine.
I was trying to get to that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We went right in. But we're Cosmic Earth Medicine.
We do crystals. We do talismans. We do tensor tools, copper tensor tools. And lots of other things.
I mean, he makes drums. There's a lot of ceremony involved. That's why it is Cosmic Earth Medicine. It's not pharmaceuticals. It's the medicine of the earth.
Yeah, when we sign up for show, people...
Oh, it's so funny. They always think we're like some type of...
Yeah, they think we're selling weed. They think we're selling weed.
Okay.
We can't sell weed, but I mean, like, they do... They don't know. They don't... Yeah, it's... Because we were Cosmic Earth Elements in the very beginning, but there was somebody else who had that name. So we
switched it up.
We switched it up, but we really now embody that because we do so much and we work with these... elemental spirits, and you know, it's a big part of it is bringing medicine to the people, because our motto is getting the rocks to the people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the most important. We try to not stick. People always say that the rocks feel so good from us, but it's nothing we do. It's the getting out of the way that creates the space for the rocks to make their way to people, because we don't have an agenda. We're not like putting our energy on it or trying to do right. You know, we're really like, when they get to us, you're free. Find your people. Do this work. Mm-hmm. You know, and we try to make it as cost effective as possible. We do a lot of work on keeping the price as low as possible so that people can feel like they can access these tools, because they're mm-hmm. tools and they're friends and they're helpers. And they're these special beings that we need to learn how to communicate with.
Right.
And they don't speak English. You know, these beings are here working on a frequency, mm-hmm. and we have to step out of the way for that. And so that's what's really been cool with Aaron and I, is that we understand that together, that we have to allow them to go where they're going to go. We're just their foster parents.
I would like to add on that I think you guys do stuff. You're so modest, but you guys do a lot of work, and you add in your own energy for that, because if you walk around, there's a reason why your guys' booths are always packed. There's a lot of crystal people dealers out there, but you guys, you clear them, you're ambassadors of them. You have a connection to them that I think a lot of people like it, that they're drawn to it, they're mm-hmm. selling it, but it's just not the same. And you can feel how you guys are all one together. So I think that's a big contribution to your success. Yeah. You know?
I think we consider them as family.
Yes.
And, you know, and their extended family, and we just love them so much that definitely shows. And helps people really feel drawn to them.
Yeah,
too.
You get very excited. We can feel your enthusiasm when you're talking about.
We're like little kids with our rocks. We really are. We get really excited.
It's not just the rocks. It's the talismans. It's mm-hmm. the tools. Like everything. Yeah. Everything that
okay.
we.
Okay, so these are new people to spirituality. So they might not even know what a talisman is.
So I make pendants. Crystal pendants, and Aaron makes tensor tools. Now these are two. Like, you could look at it as a copper bracelet. But this copper bracelet is what?
It's a tensor ring, and it puts out a tensor energy field. And the energy field activates, it heals, it helps neutralize.
And it's based on ancient Egyptian technology.
This is not something I came up with myself. This is a guy named Slim Sperling discovered tensor tools in the 90s. And he had got it from ancient Egypt. I don't know if he got it from, but it came through him.
Both.
Yeah. And like, you can see depictions in the... petroglyphs?
Yes, petroglyphs.
Yeah, yeah.
People holding tools that look very similar to the tools that that Slim was making and that now that I make.
I mean, and when we ask for these new measurements that are cubits, we actually take dowsing rods and ask Thoth himself for these measurements, and they have changed our lives. I mean, mm-hmm. these tools have been just, they've cleared our space. They've helped us work with our own energies internally. I use them when I make my talismans, and the reason why they're called talismans is because they're not just a pendant. I go through the whole, like, these are all done during siestral events. They're all done, you know, during sun phases or moon phases that I've been told to do it in. I get myself out of the way and I ask what they want to be have put out. Then they're sitting in circles with either crystal skulls or tensor tech for a week, and they bake, you know, or they cook mm-hmm. for people, and then they go right out to where they're supposed to go really quickly usually. So that's what we call a talisman. I think that's old, like druid, the word talisman.
I don't know. Yeah, honestly, I don't know the etymology.
They just came forward as like, we're not pendants. We're talismans. We're, you know, we're energy tools.
But I think traditionally they were for protection.
Oh, yeah, wow. Totally. Yeah. Totally. And that's what it feels like. It definitely feels like their protection.
Okay, so let's kind of recap here. So Aaron and Mo own a business called Cosmic Earth Medicine. We love them. We know them best because they bring crystals to events. And as you heard, they crystals require some TLC, and they give it to them. And then you feel that energy from their goods and you want to buy them. But in addition to the crystals, I just want to make it clear, Mo is taking specific crystals and combining them to create these talismans. So it's not like you're just taking one stone and throwing it on a necklace.
Yeah.
There's you were using the term the alchemy of mm-hmm. the stones together.
Yeah.
So this is how it turns into the medicine on mm-hmm. the magic.
Yeah.
So I hope people are following that okay. And then on top of it, there's a copper technology that Aaron works with, mm-hmm. which he creates these bracelets and the neck torques mm-hmm. as well.
Harmonizers.
And yes, I have a couple harmonizers in my place. They look like coils.
Yeah. Lola even has special stuff that only Aaron's made for Lola.
Mm-hmm. Well, he made it, but Lola claimed it.
Oh, yeah. It was made for you, obviously.
They only go to the people.
Yeah, they where
I was the first to say, I want that. So it shifts energy in your environment. And then when you're wearing them in your body, it shifts energy in the body. So when they're talking about cubits, they're talking about ancient measurements. You'll read about cubits in the Bible, for example, in the Talmud. And those are based on the frequency that be created on the number of coils that go around the bracelet, right?
No, not necessarily. No? It doesn't really have to do with it.
It's just the length itself.
It's yeah. The okay. Down to and really, like a very, very
simple. Really, it's the intention. This is what mm-hmm. I've discovered. I don't know if we want to talk about that now, but that's what I discovered is that more importantly, it's actually the creator intention of what you're creating, what's going through your body, into your hands, into this copper that you're making, mm-hmm. that really sets what that piece of copper is going to do for you.
Yes, and also with the talisman and also with the stones you're using as well. Oh, I think it's the perfect time to talk about intention.
Intention is where we all need to be every day with everything we do, because we can make anything into a magical item or a tool by our intention.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Even a plastic pen.
That. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep. It just, if you decide every time I pick up this pen, I'm going to be feeling love, then that becomes your magic tool.
That's how
but it's just the crystals resonate. So tell us about that. But that's why people use crystals. It amplifies the magic, right?
Yeah. Oh,
and the intention.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if you can get still within yourself and really tap into that language, because it's not an English language, mm-hmm. it's a frequency-based thing, you can do incredible things. I mean, they all have properties on which that, you know, other people have sat with them and they found out that these crystals, like I'm looking right now at Lola's carnelian, and carnelian, I call the destroyer of weakness, because it works with the chakra, the orange one. I can't think of it.
The sacral.
Root and the sacral, right? So it gets that fear out of the way so that you can create and you can, you know, raise out of fear and not have any more weakness. So it's really, really cool what these crystals can help you see with inside yourself and this inner work that you can do so that you have clear intentions, clear focus to create your reality in the way that you want it, and not this deafening outside voice that's telling you, you got to look like this, you got to be like this, you got to act like this. The crystals are going to help you be authentic and pure and true, but it does require a lot of responsibility within yourself also. And so, like, I always like feel like that the crystals will just help you become a better you so quickly if you just will take that moment and just, you know, get to know it, get to understand it in a different way.
Yeah, when you get a crystal, you're working with that crystal now. You're making a partnership with it, and it's going to be helping you, but you're also going to be helping it. And you program the crystals. You just program them with your intention. This is something that a lot of people have a hard time understanding because they just want to pick it up and be like, this is going to bring me.
So let me say this in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You're the magic.
Yes.
Yeah. The crystal's the magical tool.
Yes. Yeah. It's the wand. You know, yeah.
It's gonna bring out what's inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's where the responsibility aspect is. What is inside of you that's gonna be brought out?
I also feel that, and correct me on this, when you get a crystal, you're obviously connected. Something's calling you to that crystal. But it's also about understanding that it's a living frequency. And so when you connect with it, you ask it, for help with whatever you're trying to do. And that's how they truly open up. At least for me, I find that out. Because if you just okay, if I just put it in my pocket, it will do. It's more about that connection, that frequency connection, because they don't speak our language, but yet they speak our frequency. The more you raise your frequency to match it and ask help from it, it really aligns.
Oh yeah, and it can it can be hard on people. I see a lot of people really try to force things on themselves because they've seen an ad about, like, for instance, Moldavite. Moldavite got really, really popular for a while, and I was hesitant about it because I knew how it made me feel right off the bat, and I took it personal. I wanted to be the space, like, glass kid, and I just wanted it so bad. But the second I touched it, I knew it wasn't time for me. Mm-hmm. So I put it away, and I'm glad that I did, because at one of our last shows, this woman came, and she was so, she was her life has been just gone to pieces, and she has this piece of paper of authenticity, and she wants to sell us her piece of Moldavite.
Pretty much, Moldavite ruined her life.
In her mind, it ruined her life. And she's like, you got it. And I was like, no, honey, this isn't for us. You know, like, you got to work. You know, you brought it in, you know, like, now it's time to, like, make friends. Or you put it away for a while, bury it in the earth. But this is your responsibility now. Mm-hmm. And so it can be, you know, if you force that on you because you've taken these outside influences. That way, when anybody comes to the stand and they have so many things in their hand and they don't know what to pick, I always say, put it all down, walk away. And that thing that keeps coming into your head, that keeps just, that's the one. But or that first one that your heart grabbed, the first one that your hand went and reached for. Mm-hmm. But, and then when your mind comes in and goes, well, I like the sparkly one, and there's this one, and I like the saying of this one, I like the properties of this one. No, your body knew what you needed, not your mind. Like, we have to really be careful now in this reality to not always listen to the mind, because the mind is going to, like, lie on you a lot. It's the heart that's really knowing what you need, and it's going to have that pure voice for you. And the rocks are really going to they're really going to work with you on that level in a way that I don't think anything else does. Animals, you know, animals can see your intention. You know, that's kind of, but it's a telepathic kind of thing where you're speaking through the heart space, not through the mind.
Yeah.
And so you have to be really. And
a lot of people get really caught up on what the reading says for the properties of each stone.
Yeah, they look up on the internet and go, I want that. And I think they also think they want to get the most expensive ones.
Oh yeah, that's why Moldavite, I think, got
and malachite,
they think it's going to do more.
Yeah,
it can do more. Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, the properties of the stones are man-made.
Yeah, it was a person. Properties of the stone.
Someone picked this up and says, "Oh, this is what this one feels like. It activates for me or does for me." And they wrote it down and published it on the internet. So now a lot of people will read that and be like, "Oh, this is what that stone does." But the stones are going to activate different things in different people.
Now that's a good point, because we've had episodes before where we talked about psychic skills and clairs, and I'm a feeler. So I might pick up a stone. It maybe it says it's supposed to be for the sacral area, and I'll pick it up and I'm feeling it in some other part of my body. Right. That's what these guys are trying to talk about. Mm-hmm. It's not always as cut and dried as the internet's trying to tell you, because your frequency is constantly changing.
Yes.
So you're finding something that's a good frequency match for you right now. That said, you can apply it to intention as well to really, you know, amp things up.
Mm-hmm. Especially with quartz.
Yeah.
Quartz.
Really great for programming.
Well, that's why it's in computers and, you know, medical equipment. People don't realize that it's actually an amplifier.
And even if, like, I find it that some crystals, if they match with you, doesn't mean they're going to match for a long time. For example, exactly. My story with Moldavite would ask for me to get it, but when I get it, it always disappears. Oh, it just completely just goes away.
Everybody, and I've heard.
Weirdest ways. There was one in a locket where it was sealed, and it just was gone. Mm-hmm. But it had done what it needed to, because I needed that extra push with just really, like, and I'm like, I'm just grateful for it. But it's so interesting what they'll do.
Oh, and that one, you know, when you hear more than five people say the same thing about Moldavite, like, Moldavite's moving through dimensions. And yeah. Moldavite is something I've seen in astral travels as being pieces of technology. And mm-hmm. this is a different kind of mineral. And you really have to, you know, listen to it and accept it. When it mm-hmm. disappears, yep. accept it. Allow it to leave. It and think it. Yeah, yep. because it's working maybe with you in a different dimension. I mean, and we have to really be, you know, aware of the fact that these are living beings. Tesla yep. said, if you could understand crystals, you could understand the whole universe. Mm-hmm. So it is something that is pretty beyond our mm-hmm. what our minds can wrap around. Mm-hmm. So we have to, you know, really work with it at that level. Like, these are,
so what would you tell someone who's new to spirituality, mm-hmm. who's interested in crystals? I mean, for me, what happened is I went to Tenzing Momo in the Pike Place Market with my friend after work, which is an herbalist shop, but it's got all kinds of metaphysical items in there too. And he put a citrine in my hand and he said, tell me you don't feel this. Mm. And I went, oh, yeah, it vibrates. Wow. Mm. So that was my introduction to crystals. Mm. Do you find a lot of people are surprised the first time they feel something like that?
When I was a little girl, I was about, the only crystal we had in our house was, we held our soap dish in the most beautiful amethyst cluster, which I still have to this day. When my mom passed, I got it. But I loved this thing, but I thought it was a soap dish. I didn't know that it was, and I always had rocks in my pocket, and I was a very elemental kid. I loved, you know, that kind of stuff. But I worked for this lady at her little gift shop across the street, and I remember her handing me stones and asking me how they made me feel. And it was the craziest thing, because there was this black one she put in my hand, and I was like, oh, and I could feel this, like, this energy I never felt. And I because of my being brought up religious, I was like, oh no, is this bad? Is this evil? Like, I had all these, like, internal monologue around it too. So there's a lot of programming that can happen if you're new to this crystal world that you might, you know, like, so to trust yourself on the things that you're feeling and touching, and but also realizing that you could have a lot of programming and things that you need to let go of.
But the crystals can help you release the programming, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So can you tell people what you know about that? It's probably hard to put in words, but is there a new way
about,
to do that?
About releasing the programming?
Well, if you're new to spirituality, a lot of it is releasing the thoughts that no longer work for you, the training you had that no longer works, so that you can bring in more of that authenticity of yourself.
So let's break it up in a simpler form. So if I was unaware of the crystal world and I came to you guys and said, hey, I'm really having issues breaking out of religious programming, what crystal or stone would you recommend?
Oh, it's such an, like, to me, I always, whenever anybody does that, I always say, okay, close your eyes and walk around the table with your hand open. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not that person, and every single crystal is going to work different for every single mm-hmm. person. So we can have, like, you know, and I can narrow it down. Yeah, I can tell people, like, there's, like, five things I'm thinking of right now. Yeah. Or I'll ask spirit, what would be the best for them?
Yeah,
you know, but
exactly. Like, some they'll say what they're going through or what situation they would like help with, mm-hmm. and then a stone or crystal will pop into my head. Mm-hmm. I can tell them that, but then I give people the opportunity, like Mo was saying, it's like, you know, this is kind of on you.
Yeah. Trust yourself. I want people to trust themselves because, you know, we were reading books in the very beginning and they were telling us that you always had to put them all in salt water and you always had to do these things.
All my stuff
and
it was really,
and it was really like blocking us from our own, like our own intuition and our own, because we, anybody who's new on the spiritual path is not less than anybody that's on the best spirit, like a yogi. You know, we're all so equal. There's no imperialism, and but we want people to learn their own guidance system, and it's not going to be my guidance system.
Right.
So I'm always like, let's get you trusting yourself.
That's the
that's the thing is like getting the spiritual person to trust themselves on this path and to learn their own path, because it's not going to be anybody else's, and we need that authentic peace right now. Like, that's what this new age is here to show us, is that we have to each stand in this authenticity and this who we are, because we're a perfect little puzzle piece that nobody else is.
Yeah, trust and, like trust your own, but like, that's not just with Christians. That's just with spirituality. Like we talk about coming into your spirituality. Like, that's something that was one of the biggest things that I had to learn for myself, was just trust what I'm feeling. The intuition that's coming to me, just trust that.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I'm going to put myself in the place of someone new to all these crystals, right? Now, that's great if you're right in front of the crystals, like when you're vending at a at a show, they can feel it. But for someone who's new and they're like looking online and they're reading these, oh, you know, I want to improve my relationship with my husband. Oh, these are some crystals I see have those properties. I don't think they have any other choice than to just order one those guidelines.
For example, like that, I would tell us, like, there's a few real basic crystals. Anything that's a quartz crystal is going to be good for anyone that's kind of beginning with crystals, because they're so programmable. The quartz is going to include like clear quartz, amethyst, citrine, any kind of quartz like
any
that.
Any kind of quartz, amethyst, rose quartz, and
rose quartz.
Clear quartz is going to be, and citrine, those are like the base stones. And I always suggest, if you are so new and you know, fire quartz, start any there. Of that stuff, start there and make sure when it comes into your home, you clean it or you clear it in some way, and you can just use your intention.
See, now, I was new to all this at one point. I did not know about what clearing meant.
Yeah.
So can you explain that?
So clearing is, so everything is going to hold, everything holds energy or has an energy or frequency, which is, it gets because it's affected by what it's around. So you don't know what it's around before it gets to you. So what you want to do is you want to kind of clear it, reset it back to its factory default settings, I guess you can say. So when you bring it to home, you can use smoke like from sage, and you just put sage smoke over it with your intention that you're clearing it. You can use water. You can actually just kind of hold it in your hand and will it to be clear, which may or may not be a more advanced thing for someone that's just coming online with the stuff. I mean, it's
yeah, but if you have that intention and you feel it in your heart, that would make it work, wouldn't it? Right?
Yeah.
But for so you don't have to bury it in the backyard.
No,
you don't have to do it under a full moon. You don't have to put a blue satin lining over the top of it.
But something easy like that, set it out in the moon. But really, smoke is easy. Salt water,
whatever you're like, the first thing that pops up is probably the thing that's the best to clean it and clear it with,
and
drum on it. Play some frequency.
Oh, and people do Reiki. They can do Reiki on it.
Yeah. I mean, anything is okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be what you read in a book.
I like this conversation, because I think a lot of people, when I was new, I got my first wand and I went to the internet, and I don't know how I got on this person's page, which is exactly, you need to do this, this, and this. And the reason I was joking about a blue lining is because she says you had to wrap your wand in a blue satin cloth. And I was like, oh, I have to go buy a... I literally was like adhering to her instructions. And then I realized, oh, no, I don't need to do all
that.
I was like that too.
Yeah.
So that... our program's about helping people avoid the pitfalls we fell into.
Yes, I love
I love this conversation. That's more about you trust your own self, trust your own feelings, trust your own intuition. Is okay. Let's say you ordered a stone that you've never worked with before, and it came in from Etsy or someplace like that. And so you pull it out of the box. You get, oh, there it is. I'm so excited. And then I guess the first thing I would do is put it in my hand to feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
for
so.
Sure.
And then you're saying to clear it. And I feel like what I'm doing right now is I'm holding a stone and put one hand on top of the other. I think you can just do it that way and set your intention. So you can follow the stories and the grimoires and the from the witch's handbook on exactly what you're supposed to do with every little stone. Or now that we're in the age of Aquarius, you can make your own rules.
Yes, trust
as
yourself.
Long as the intention is right, you're fine.
Yeah,
I love this conversation. You don't have to be married and locked into what you read on the internet about each stone.
Yeah, and for an earth sign like myself, that was really difficult. Lesson for me is that I don't have to follow all the steps like it's outlined in this literature or that so-and-so told me. I don't have to cover my drum with a red cloth after every time I use it.
Yeah.
You know, these things that I thought were like the rules.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are the ceremonial rules that have to be followed. They don't actually have to be followed. You can
I love to see the evolution, you know, of all of us and where you guys first started. When I was thinking about you guys' evolutions, I think back on previous conversations, and one of them was with Mo about going in the summer, I think, to the Sasquatch. Mm. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that is part of a pivot, I feel, in your guys' business.
Well, this was the Sasquatch beings. When I met Aaron, he asked me, and I cannot believe I told him the truth because I wasn't very honest in the beginning of our relationship. I wanted to really be everybody's friend and just tell people what they wanted to hear. And there was this amazing man in my life, and he asked me what I was reading, and I was like, oh my god, I'm reading the psychic Sasquatch. I have to tell him this. Like, and this book, had mysteriously gone into my bookshelf, and I was reading this mysterious book. I was like, what is this psychic Sasquatch? I didn't buy this. Like, where did this come from? And I was telling everybody that this book magically appeared, but this guy that I didn't think was this, you know, I mean, I had talked nonstop about Shungite when I first met him because I was just a chatterbox who was, you know, at our first date and, you know, all these things. And he asked me what I was reading. I said, the psychic Sasquatch. And he says, that sounds really interesting. And he read it immediately. I mean, we were only a couple months in, and he read it, and he found out that the author was having this retreat in Eastern Washington. And he was like, we're gonna go. And I was like, no, I stop at the book. Like, I don't, you know, I was worried it was gonna be this woo-woo hippie, you know, thing. It was like, that was so scary to me to go to something. I'm not a like go and do stuff person. And Aaron's like, you know, basically dragging me to this event. And this event changed our lives so fast. That's where Aaron met Kaji, who's from Australia, who taught him tensor technology. That's where I met Garrett from the Navajo Nation, who helped me incredibly at knowing my star lineage and where I came from. And we got to be and feel these Sasquatch beings who I knew were like family to us. It changed our lives so fast and so quickly. And over the years we met, you know,
we met so many people. So many people came into our life so fast.
Yeah.
And I want to actually talk about, just to bring this up, because it was the Psychic Sasquatch book, but there was another book written by another author called The Message to Humanity. Mm. And
The Sasquatch Message.
Sasquatch Message to Humanity. And
my brother Sunbo.
Yeah. Sunbo had, what's it called? Has channeled this message from Sasquatch by the name of Kamu. And the message that he had written in this book captured me like nothing had ever captured me before. And he was going to be at this Sasquatch, Psychic Sasquatch event over in Eastern Washington. Mm-hmm. He was going to be there too. So that's why I was really excited. And so I just wanted to bring that in.
And that book was like is humanity's origin story. I mean, I had read every book I could get my hands on, religious texts, Emerald Tablet, anything I could get my hands on to find out what this whole thing was about. And that book was like, oh, this is it. He's telling, this is our origin story from the very beginning. And oh my God. And we could tell by this. I mean, it was like we would go into this space in the woods and all of a sudden we were in a new, different reality. Mm-hmm. And that we were all vibrating at this level. I mean, people are talking about orbs now. we would see thousands and thousands of orbs all around us. And you could, there was pictures. I mean, we have pictures after pictures of these orbs all around us. We were all sitting in an amphitheater one night, and half of us in the amphitheater saw a Sasquatch walking behind
Sunbow. We're talking about an actual forest being. We're not just saying Sasquatch like it's the name of something. We're talking about Bigfoot.
Bigfoot, like, is what we're talking about. And you know, Sasquatch 13 people. Feet tall, walking behind a man, and half of us saw him with our physical eyes, and half of us didn't. Like, they were showing us how frequency works and how, you know, if they're
interdimensional.
They're interdimensional. They can change
in and out of our frequency.
Ooh, I get the chills. Yeah,
that we can see and interact with them and understand them, and they can change. They can go up or down, and they have to come down to
And can you imagine being a being that's vibrating at a very high frequency, having to push themselves down into? It doesn't happen very often, you know. We have to have enough of that energy around us, and for it to make it easier on them, because why would you want to? And I've had so many experiences where they've taught me how frequency works and how, you know, you have to. We're going to bring yourself up to us if you really want to, you know, interact with us. And how many did we go to?
We went to like four of them, and they kind of changed. Like the first couple years was, I guess I'm just going to say they were just like the classic years.
Yeah. They were the classic years. And then it got bigger and more like, kind of, I guess you'd like anything.
A little bit
got
more like hippie-ish. People, it kind of like strayed from the actual message to humanity and kind of
skewing like, toward Burning Man.
Let's hold hands and run across the field. Yeah.
Okay. Which is fine, but it didn't resonate with us anymore.
It was like the third or fourth one that the 13th Crystal Skull.
It was our very last. Maybe it was a third or fourth one, but that was where we met the Crystal Skull.
So that's my question before you go into that. So all of this working with earth energy and earth frequency brought you closer to the mineral kingdom in general?
So fast.
I want to make sure I'm hearing this right.
To do the tensor technology right away. I mean, I loved rocks. I mean, I was already obsessed with rocks and minerals, but Aaron started wrapping crystals.
Yeah, I started wrapping crystals shortly after I met Mo, because I had this little crystal collection from when I was a kid, and talking to Mo, I was like, oh, I got my collection. So I brought the collection, and then we went to Lainey and
Juliet's shop,
and I picked out some crystals.
Okay, so you became very, very connected to earth frequencies as a result, which led to your love of all of the crystals. Then I didn't even know about the crystal skulls till today. I mean, as far as this story.
This was so life-changing to us. And it's so funny because we saw that we were like, oh, this Sasquatch thing is really changing because Mitch Hedges' skull is going to be there, but you have to pay $111 to sit with the skull. And me and Aaron were like, we'll never pay money to sit with a crystal. Like, no way. If we get invited, then we'll go. And sure as heck, we got invited. It was so funny because I'm sure the guy was kind of irritated because our brother Garrett brought his whole gang.
Garrett bought one ticket to show, and then he brought like 11 people with
him. And so like, you know, he gets one ticket. No, he got a free ticket because they want the shaman guy. It was free. And so Aaron had just been gifted a giant crystal skull named Benjamin. And so we had this big skull,
and we're bringing this big skull.
to this thing, and I of course get sat down right in front of this skull, and I never had a crystal skull. I kind of thought they were creepy, I can't lie. They because the energy was so big. I'm an extremely sensitive person. I would consider myself a highly sensitive person, and so they were kind of like a little bit scary to me. And so I sat down right in front of this crystal skull, and I closed my eyes because we were all going to meditate in front of this crystal skull. And I heard, good to see you again, in that voice and everything, deeper voice. It made me so, we were holding hands, so I jolted up and I looked at the guy because I'm just crying with tears. And the guy goes, he never forgets a face. So he heard in his head the same thing. And he confirmed it to me because my little mind wouldn't have been able to wrap myself around that at the time. I knew I was telepic, but it wasn't in that way. I'd never heard words in that, just that. Ugh, it was so crazy. And it was like maybe 2 days after we left that place that this woman calls us from Oregon. And she says, you guys are going to be the ambassadors of the Crystal Skulls. You're going to be the transfer station. We were like, what lady? Her name was Galactic Ashley. Her name is Galactic Ashley. And we were like, Galactic Ashley. Yeah. She called, I mean, we didn't know her. We didn't know her. And so it was really like, okay, lady, you know, like, I mean, now we do. And now we understand because it was so fast. Aaron got these fluorite council skulls and it was from Mexico. Mm-hmm. And they were so energetic and so wild. And ever since, they have been this unstoppable force in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we truly believe Washington State is the mecca for these crystal skulls. They are good. We have a fellow crystal vendors that are really bringing forward some incredible skulls. And this skull thing is just, it's gone crazy. I even received a skull recently, an obsidian skull from Mexico City. That's a jaguar with the skull in its mouth. Mm. And it was like the way that it got to me was so crazy. And I was telling the lady like how I love this skull so much. And she goes, do you know where the other skull is? It's in a cave in Mexico with elders. You know that this is important. And whoa, you know, I was like, so it's so beyond my, even mm-hmm. myself at what these beings are doing for us.
Yeah. Where you get the most interesting, crazy, cool, unique, one of a kind skulls. Are you going all over? Are they just coming to you energetically? Or are you searching them out? You know, kind of like, where do we go?
I wouldn't say we're searching them out, but we do tend to find them a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like in our travels or just like, I don't know, skulls that we're attracted to.
Yeah. They're not cookie cutter.
No.
Yeah. They're very different.
Yeah. And when you take a crystal or a stone and you carve it into the shape of a head, it does something to that. To that piece, and it makes it connect with all the other ones, and it's like a huge transferage of knowledge.
That the you computers, can get. They're like
you're making me laugh because being here in Washington, number one, and the computer system is making me laugh because look at how many skulls I've ended up with.
Yeah, wow. I mean, we're sitting here with the biggest council I've ever had. Any
There's
single
more in
person
the basement.
Oh, I know. I can feel them. I mean, Lola is the keeper of many supervisors here. And I mean, that's just incredible in itself. I don't even own that many skulls. You know, like it takes a very strong Anunnaki being to sit with this many and not, you know, just totally lose reality because they are all, I mean, whoa, when they, like Aaron said, when they are carved into the shape, and some of these are long heads and they have open heads, and you know, like there's a lot of different energies that are coming through, but they're all connected. It's a giant council beyond our wildest dreams. I mean, that was something that the Mitch Hedgen skull taught us right away, was like, oh, this skull Benjamin was supposed to sit with this skull to become, you know, like a part of it.
So
that's why we call it a council.
When you're new to spirituality, well, number one, I think that a lot of times people do have your first reaction, which is a skull, ooh. But they're actually keepers of codes.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going back to ancient times, Atlantis and Lemuria.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. So for the longest time, I loved skulls. I always loved them, but I have this magic wand called Gloria.
Oh, we know Gloria.
She's a crystal wand. And every time I was so close to buying a skull, I could hear Gloria telling me no. Oh. And that went on for years and years and years. And I finally, she let me have the little ones, but she wouldn't have me let me have anything medium to large. And then one time, I can't remember which skull started it all, but she let me buy a crystal skull. Mm. Oh, it was from you. It's a white one. Yeah. She let me buy it from you guys online. Mm-hmm. And then once I had it, this could happen to you guys too, I guess, based on what we're sharing with you. Once you get one skull, because of the communication system, kind of like the mycelium with the mushrooms,
oh,
right?
Definitely.
It's like you may end up getting another and another. That's happened for Kelly. That's happened for other friends of ours. Probably not to the extremes that I have.
No.
But yeah, the skulls, once you get the okay from your higher self to get that first skull, probably likely to get more than one.
Oh, definitely. I don't know really anybody who has just one.
It's either
or you do.
I guess,
and you're like me where you buy them rocking chairs.
So would you say that certain people, because they're working on themselves and raising their own vibration, maybe that was for me, I finally got to the point where like, yes, you are finally qualified to be a keeper of this skull.
Yeah, definitely.
I have a very interesting story when it comes to skulls and how I was introduced to it. I have never even stepped inside a metaphysical store. So I stepped into Arlington's Metaphysical Store, the one that's like on the third floor or something. Mm-hmm. It's kind of in. So I see this sign and it says, today is World Skull Day and think to it. We're going to do a meditation tonight. And I was there with my stepdaughter and I said, oh, what do I need to do to do this? Because I was like trying to just grasp my mind. Like, and I said, do I have to get this big skull? And that's the other thing too. People think that you have to get this huge skulls or whatever. And she said, get the one that, like, feel all of them, the one that connects with you the most, grab that one. And I think it was like a donation base. And I go there, no expectations, nothing. For the very first time, like, connecting probably to really spirituality in a way, as far as skulls go. And I get blasted off. And when I'm talking about blasted off, we start the meditation. And I'm like traveling through different parts of the world. I'm going out to other universes, finding out that there's skulls in other parts too. They're connecting with our skulls. And I was just mind blown. And I kept it all down because I was like, at that point, I had no one to talk about. So I'm like, I don't want to be like the crazy one. But then my stepdaughter, I'm like, did you feel anything? She's like, I just felt really relaxed and stuff. But I was like, she nowhere near had the experience. Yeah. And ever since then, I like looked at skulls completely different.
Yeah. I really feel like since that event, I remember talking to you and you were so jazzed and up about it. And then watching how more and more came in and then observing the community and more people, it's like all of a sudden there are lots of places where before you weren't seeing very much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really... when we got, I mean, I really do feel like we were ambassadors of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just part of
it. I mean, and how did a lady who didn't know us just contact
find you in the first place? Yeah.
I mean, how did she? I don't even remember how.
I don't know.
Okay. But this is so cool because these people get to hear how synchronicity happen.
Yes. Once and you follow those,
once you make a commitment to being a more authentic self, magical things do happen. Like, really my does. Crystal One Gloria was handed to me.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
So, I mean, it's
and there's just been so, I mean, we one time we gave away one of our biggest crystal skulls at a music festival that was just the worst experience we probably had in business.
It was a rough show.
It was a really rough show. We were having a really hard time just getting through this. And Aaron was raffling off this giant smoky quartz crystal skull.
Huge.
I mean, it was just giant. And
like,
you know, 50 pounds. And we were so worried we weren't even going to make its like wholesale price out of it, right? And so we auctioned it off, and a little girl, 7 years old, wins this crystal skull. She only bought one ticket, and there was people who knew that we weren't selling very many tickets, so they came at the end and they bought like 50 tickets at once to try to win it because it was so massive. And this little girl, and I go down to her level when she comes to get the skull, and I'm like, are you so excited that you won? I called him Andre the Giant. Yeah. And she goes, that's not his name. And like all, you know, very, and she goes, it's Guacate. And she it was the first time I ever heard light language. And I realize now what it was that this little girl was telling me. And she goes, that's his name. And he has two friends here. Mom, can I get his two friends? I mean, it was just such an incredible thing. And her name was Sophia.
Like, wisdom. I mean, wisdom.
Like, what? And then recently I met another little girl, and her grandfather collects crystals and loves crystals, but doesn't like that the granddaughter loves crystal skulls because he thinks they're creepy. Guess what her name is? Sophia. One of my favorite crystal skulls I've ever been gifted has been gifted from this little girl named Sophia. Like, it's all beyond my, like, my mind at how these things are working. And they're working through these little kids. They're working through, you know, elders. They are just working. And
this brings up an interesting point. And we've got about 10 minutes left in the podcast. So I just, these children remember.
Yeah.
Working with them in past lives.
Yes, and are very confident about it.
But I want to go back to the regular audience. You're going to remember maybe not working with skulls, but you might remember working with crystal quartz. You might remember working with rose quartz as a very feminine, maybe you worked in a temple of, of Diana. Well, Diana's tough. Okay.
Magdalena's maybe.
Yeah, Magdalene, obsidian, for those of us who remember Mesoamerican lives. lapis lazuli for people who remember being Egyptian. There's going to be a stone that maybe instead of it's calling you for a reason, maybe that isn't the obvious. You know, maybe it's not what you're reading metaphysically on Google about, oh, I'm going to go look for an amethyst. You might get called to another stone because there is a remembrance at a soul level of lives where you use these as tools.
Trust it.
So trust that. Yes. So, and it doesn't necessarily, you might be drawn to something that is relatively inexpensive. And go, why am, like you with the moonstone recently. And we shift, change, and grow all the time. So all of a sudden, Amaral has been really drawn to moonstone. Moonstone is not one of the most expensive stones. So that doesn't mean, that doesn't diminish what it does or what you, the calling you're getting for it because of the feelings you're experiencing at the moment.
Well, and I've always said to people that if you're meant to have a stone and it's out of your price range, you will get that stone. And you will get it at a, you will find it at a garage sale. You will find, you know, like I found one of my favorite stones that actually brought me into rocks and minerals that I saw in a dream. I got a huge piece of it and it's fused with 24 karat gold. So it's very expensive. And I found a huge piece out of rummage sale for $5.
Wow, so
don't ever think of money being a barrier between you having a piece of morganite or having a piece of these higher, more expensive minerals, because if they're meant to work with you, like Lola said, they are going to find you, and that barrier doesn't have to be there.
And even if you go ahead.
I have a question. You were talking about money and buying those stars or having enough money, thinking, oh, because I've kind of stayed away from some of the bigger stuff because I'm like, oh, that's kind of out of my price range. But it is interesting how you'll be gifted these things. But along with money, you and I were having a conversation about money mindset. And we were talking how Aaron had this different mindset and you had a different mindset and how you guys have come together in that. And do you want to share a little bit of background on that?
Yeah, I guess I would say with this is my attitude on money is that it's my right. Having money is my right. Having wealth is my right. Living a comfortable life is my right. So I claim that right. And it can be hard to do sometimes. Like, you know, you have a drawer full of bills or wherever you keep your bills. I don't know if you keep them in a drawer.
You're like me when I first met him. I was like, I didn't want to deal with anything with money. I felt like it was so bad and evil, and I had a terrible relationship with it, and I didn't have any of it. I had just enough to get by always.
That's so true, especially in the spiritual community. A lot of people have this aversion to money because they think it is a bad thing, but really it's just another form of energy. And we all have a right to energy. I mean, it's shared energy. We all are from the same
thing. And that really helped me change my poverty. I called it poverty consciousness. Was Aaron saying, don't you love energy? And I'm like, I love energy. And he's like, don't you deserve it? And I said, yeah. And he's like, money's an energy. You deserve it. And I hadn't had anybody ever tell me that. Anybody ever say that I deserved money and that was okay for me to have it and to be in abundance and it's not something bad and it's not something to be ashamed of. I mean, I wouldn't even tell people if anything good happened to me ever because I was like, oh, other people aren't having anything good happen to them. So I don't want to be like, you know, like, so Aaron taught me so much about, like, by his example, he was always just, everything would appear for him. Like all these good things, and he would just go for the things he wanted and he wasn't scared and all these things. So I was really able to like see him as an example of like, wait, if I have more energy, then I can share more energy with others. And I deserve it.
Everyone deserves abundance.
And that's like self-love.
And it's our right. We are creator. We're creator beings. And we can create our lives and our universe. We create our universe around each one of us has our own universe. And we can create what we want in these. And it's so hard, especially with all the media trying to like, tell you what to think, because the media, they're smart. The people that run the media, I don't want to get off topic.
I know,
will make you create. They'll make you create what they want. But
because they know who
you are. You can create what you want. I'm not saying that I'm a super rich person. I'm rich in my life and in feeling and in love and that kind of stuff. But I never feel like I'm going to be without. Or I always feel like I'm going to be okay.
And he's
faith.
Like, it's just been such an incredible thing to like walk in faith, a fierce faith of and understanding of, but it takes self-love. I know that that's the root at the end of the day, is how you speak to yourself, mm-hmm. and the love that you're willing to pour into yourself of deserving it.
Yeah, because you guys are entrepreneurs, your mm-hmm. own business. So having that mindset and seeing you guys how much you grew, because when you started, you had like, remember I saw you sharing, this is when I first started, you guys only had almost
nothing.
And now
you have one table that we shared.
We both worked in downtown Seattle. We quit our job. I walked away from a career. And we decided we were going to go live in the woods in Anacortes, and we were going to start doing little crystal and mineral shows and psychic fairs, selling crystal jewelry and whatever else we were going to sell at the time. And it was just faith.
Yeah, it was really faith. And people were really like, what are you doing? I mean, especially him, because he had a career. And they were like, you're going to live with a guy. I mean, I was just a cat lady who was never going to live with a guy. And I went to go live with him. And it was so much faith. And it was so much just, okay, this is what we should do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know we're running down towards the end of this episode, but one thing I really wanted to like say again is about go back to trusting your own intuition, mm-hmm. trusting yourself, trust what comes to you, because like we were just saying, like, we are the creators of our own universe.
Yeah.
I want to just take this time to really thank you guys, because sometimes you don't understand how you change people's lives. So I was giving a pyramid, and this pyramid is tensor technology mixed with crystals and organite. Such a powerful, beautiful gift.
Yeah, but who gave it to you?
Aaron sent it to me and gave it to me. And here's the amazing thing. When I got it, I bawled my eyes out, because I was going through, I didn't feel worthy, because mm-hmm. I never really received, right? Then I start healing and I start working on myself, and in a form for me to reciprocate that thankfulness, I've been bringing it to so many sacred ceremonies. Yes. And I always bring it because it's my form of spreading that. So that's what I want to really end up the message with, is mm-hmm. just as abundance, just as everything, it's all about the reciprocation of that great energy that you've been giving. So mm-hmm. thank you so much.
Oh, that makes me so happy to hear that. Yeah, that gave me chills.
Yeah. I thought we were going to make it without crying.
This is what I want. Like, I want this copper technology. I want these crystals to go to the people that they're supposed to go to, so that the work can be done. So that gave me chills hearing you say that.
You made a heart tensor technology that I put on people's hearts when I have them working on the table.
Oh, yeah.
And then shortly after we worked together, I did a session on you. You gifted me this beautiful feathered tool that I put over people. And every time I do, I think of you. And people feel it. They're like, oh, was it this? And I'm like, yep, that was the bird.
Yeah.
And so much jewelry that I've purchased or you've gifted me, and every time I wear them, I think that's one of the things that I love jewelry, is because it's such a good memory for me to think of that person. But you guys are so generous and giving, and you give of your time and your love and your energy and effort, and then there's no mistake why you guys have been so successful and doing so well, and we just love to see you thrive, and we feel so honored have this time with you.
Yes, and we're truly blessed to have friends like you.
Thank you. We're all divine reflections. This is a big, big ass mirror here. And we are looking at each other and reflecting on each other the love and the abundance that we all deserve.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Was there any other questions or anything that you wanted
to remind people, when they were talking about abundance, that'd be a good time to use your quartz crystal when you're making those kind of statements that Aaron and Mo were just saying,
Amplify it.
There's a reason why quartz is in our microphone we're speaking through right now. It is the only way that we amplify sound. We amplify intention. It is through quartz. It keeps time. Still to this day, every bit of electronics has quartz in it. So know that you're a walking piece of technology, and you can use quartz to amplify your intentions. And that means you can amplify abundance. You can amplify love in your heart. You can amplify the people around you and healing.
Absolutely. Okay. I love that. Love that message.
That brings us to, we just have a little bit of time to say that. I think the synopsis of what we're saying here is have fun with crystals, order them online. But if you can, go to some place where there's crystal vendors or crystal shop and hold your hand over the crystals. You'll see which one you feel energy from, or trust your heart with them. I think that's the best way to learn from them. And we're going to be at a fair, Amaral and I, on Saturday.
A huge fair.
The Alchemy Fair in Everett, and there will be crystal vendors there. Unfortunately, Mo and Aaron will not be there this time.
It'll be our first time sitting out, but we always tell people the Alchemy Fair is such a great resource. You can amazing tarot readers and healers, mm-hmm. and amazing rock vendors. I mean, and it's, how many vendors are there?
Hundreds, yeah. Yeah.
So go to Amaral. Yeah.
And then Amaral and I are sharing a booth. You can meet the Welcome to Woo Woo people. I'll be doing tarot readings and spirit guide drawings. We're going to be next to Samantha, our Reiki teacher. Yeah. Okay. Thank on that you. Note, let's just say, hey, thank you for being on the road to Woo Wooville with
us. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being our first guest.
We love being the first.